Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter and all those who are listening all around the world. This is Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, God is a good God. If you have your Bible, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 31, and let's read verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24. And the scripture says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." He'll strengthen your mind. That heart right there is mind. Be of good courage, God says, and he'll strengthen your mind. All of you who hope in the Lord. All of you who hope in the Lord. That Hebrew word is yakal. And it means to wait. It means to be patient. It means to have an expectation, to expect. It means to stay. It means to trust. You can't run away from God when things get tough and that be considered hope. No, hope is you hang on in there. You stay on in there during the tough times, and you keep on expecting, having an expectation that God's going to come through for you. You trust, and you be patient, and you wait. That's hoping in God. Your call is the Hebrew word. And so all of us that are of good courage and hope in God, he'll strengthen our minds. He'll strengthen our mind. And that's a wonderful thing. The message God gave me to give to you is hope in God. Hope in God. When you hope in God, it brings, number one, it brings strength. Hoping in God brings strength. I mean, it doesn't do any good to fall all apart during tough times. It only makes things worse. I've come to find that out. It only makes things worse when you fall apart during tough times. You know, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And what he's saying is you can overcome the world, too. If you use your faith, if you hope in God, he'll strengthen you and your mind, and you'll overcome the tough times in this world. So having hope, we're talking about hoping in God. Having hope, number one, brings strength. Look at it brings strength. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Hoping in God brings strength. So that means during tough times, don't fall apart. You continue to expect God to come through for you. You have an expectation. You continue to wait on God. Waiting on God is not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. You continue to wait on God. The message is hope in God. Number one, it brings strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Let's look at it. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You see, waiting upon God, hoping in God. Remember, to hope in God means to what? To wait upon God. It means to wait upon him. And it means to tarry. It means to look patiently for. Look patiently for God to come through for you. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You're going to be strengthened. Well, hoping in God brings strength. You're going to be strengthened when you hope in God, when you wait upon the Lord. "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." You're going to mount up with wings as eagles. "They shall run and not be weary." You want to continue to run and not be weary. "And they shall walk and not faint." And this is to those that hope in God. It brings you strength. Number two, it brings you rest. Hoping in God brings you rest. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Hoping in God brings you rest. Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. You see, hoping in God brings us what? Rest. Because thou will not leave my soul in hell. God, you're going to come through for me. And I know you're going to come through for me. You're not going to leave my soul in hell. You're not going to leave my mind in this tormenting state. You're going to come through for me. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You're not going to let me go out. You're not going to let me be destroyed. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. See, when you hope in God, you find what? Rest. You'll have rest. Hoping in God brings, number one, strength. Number two, it brings us rest. So, you know, God gives his dearly beloved sweet sleep. He gives us a sweet rest. How can this be during tough times? Because our hope is in God. We know God's not going to let us be destroyed. We know that God's not going to let us lose as long as we are hoping in him, expecting him to come through for it. Not only does hoping in God bring us strength, not only does it bring us rest, but hoping in God brings us deliverance. It brings us deliverance. Look at Psalm 33. We're talking about hope, hoping in God. Psalm 33, and look at verse 18 and 19. The Lord is now unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So the Lord is near us. That's of a broken and contrite spirit. The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Look at Romans 8:24. We're talking about hoping in God. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope. We are saved how? By hope. So hoping in God brings us what? Salvation. It brings us deliverance. That we're saved, it means deliverance. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. To make whole. To cause to do well. We are saved how? By hope. Romans 8:24. So hoping in God, what? Brings us deliverance. Brings us healing. Brings us protection. Causes us to do well. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about hoping in God. It's powerful to hope in God. It's powerful to have an expectation that God's going to come through for you. Oh, it brings you deliverance. God likes when we hope in him. He likes when we're expecting for him to intervene on our behalf. He likes for us waiting for him to come through for us. He likes that. He likes it so much to the point that he will what? Deliver us when we hope in him. Hoping in God brings us strength. Hoping in God brings us rest. Hoping in God brings us deliverance. For we are saved, how? By hope. Part A of that scripture, Romans 8:24. We are saved, how? By hope. That's how we're saved. That's how we're delivered. So if you're in a tough situation right now, continue to hope in God. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time and energy waiting on God. It's not a waste of time. He's going to come through for you. God likes when we hope in him. Number four, we're talking about hoping in God. Hoping in God brings us favor. It releases favor in our life. When God sees us hoping in him, favor will be released in our lives. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 26 and 31. The scripture says in verse 26, it is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You see, it's a good thing. The scripture tells us it's good that man both hope and quietly wait for God to save him. It's a good thing. Hell's breaking loose in your life. You have trouble coming at you on every side. It's a good thing to just quietly wait, hope for God to come and deliver you. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, and it's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. The favor of God will be released in your life. It's good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Go to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Oh, he's not going to leave you in a bind. He's not going to leave you in bondage. He's not going to leave you in a terrible situation forever. God's going to deliver you. God's going to come through for you when you continue to hope in God. Your call is the Hebrew word. Your call, and it means to wait on God, to be patient, to have an expectation that God's going to come through for you. He's not going to leave you in that terrible situation. You've got to believe this, child of God, and you've got to hope in God. Trust him to bring you out of your horrible situation. Hoping in God brings us strength. Hoping in God brings us rest. Hoping in God brings us deliverance. Hoping in God brings us favor. Hoping in God brings us joy. It brings us joy. Maybe you're sad and discouraged because you're not hoping in God. That could be the reason. Hoping in God brings joy. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Hoping in God brings joy. Proverbs chapter 10. And look at verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Gladness, the hope of the righteous shall be what? Gladness or joy. You see, or joy. So, you know, the child of God that's hoping in God is going to be what? Joyful. They're going to be glad. They're going to have joy in their heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Because they're hoping in God, they have an expectation that God's going to come through for them in their situation. Jeremiah chapter 17, and look at verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. That word blessed right there is happy. How happy? How happy is that man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord? You're going to be happy. You're going to be joyful. You're going to have joy when you hope in God. Child of God, don't go around having a negative attitude, thinking the worst, expecting the worst. That's not hope. That's not hope. No, don't be sitting around thinking that God's going to hit you upside the head with a baseball bat. That's not hope. We need to hope that God is going to come through for us and deliver us out of our horrible situation. That's hope. That's hope. And it brings joy. Stop looking and expecting the worst. Stop that. We need to hope in God. Expect the best. Expect that God's going to come through for you. Number six, hoping in God gives us boldness. It brings us boldness. You're going to be as bold as a lion when you hope in God. You're not going to be moved no matter what, whatever comes your way, whatever comes at you. You have hope in God. You're going to be bold. Remember David? David's hope was in God. David wasn't scared of Goliath. He wasn't scared of him. He said, I'm going to take off your head, Goliath, and I'm going to feed it to the birds. David had his hope in God. He remembered when God delivered him from the lion and the bear. And he said, God's going to deliver me from you, Goliath, just like he delivered me from the lion and the bear. See, David had hope in God. He trusted God. He trusted God, and he took Goliath's head off and walked around the city holding his head, big head, in his hand, showing it as a trophy. He was bold. David was bold as a lion. Why? Because he hoped in God. He had his trust. His trust was in God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and I'm at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. I was at the wrong scripture. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Since we have great what? Since we have such great hope, we're bold. We're bold in our what? In our speech. We're bold. Because our hope is in God. Number seven, when you hope in God, it brings purity. It brings purity when we hope in God. Look at 1 John chapter 3. We're talking about hoping in God and what it brings into our lives. 1 John chapter 3. We found out that hoping in God brings strength. It brings rest. We need all this. It brings deliverance. I need deliverance. I don't know about you. I need deliverance out of tough situations. It brings favor. Hoping in God brings favor. Hoping in God brings joy. It brings boldness. And it brings purity. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. It makes you clean. Oh, glory to God. It makes you clean when you hope in God. So just the flip side of that, just the opposite of that, when your hope is not in God and you have a negative attitude, it makes you dirty. It makes you dirty. But when you hope in God, when you're waiting on God to bring deliverance to your life, when you have an expectation that he's going to come through for you, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in God, in him, purifies himself, makes himself clean, even as he is pure. See, so it makes you clean. It purifies us when our hope is in God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Wait on God. Be patient. Have an expectation that he's going to come through for you. He's going to intervene on your behalf at any moment now. Trust in God. Stay in God. Don't run from God. Stay in God. He'll come through for you when we hope in him. And my closing scripture, Psalm 78, and I'll finish up with this scripture, Psalm 78. I've been talking about this evening, hoping in God. It brings strength. It brings rest. It brings us deliverance. It brings us favor. It brings us joy. It brings us boldness. And it brings us purity. Psalm 78, and look at verses 5 through 8. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare of them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. We ought to teach this to our children. Teach our children how to hope in God, that they might set their hope. Listen, verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. We ought to teach our children and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast in God. It's a wicked thing not to be steadfast in God, to hope in God. It's considered rebellion. Your spirit, your heart is not right. We're considered a rebellious people when our hope is not in God. Teach our children to hope in God. Teach our children to be steadfast and not to be rebel against God. Stay in God. Hope in God. Teach our children that God's going to come through for you. He's not going to let you down. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord's going to deliver you out of them all. God wants us to hope in him, trust in him. He wants that from us. And that's what God wanted me to share tonight. Hoping in God is not a waste of time. Hoping in God brings us strength, it brings us rest, it brings us deliverance, it brings us favor, it brings us joy, it brings us boldness, and it brings us purity. We make ourselves clean when we hope in God. And that's what God wanted me to share tonight. Thank God for each and every one of you, and I'll see you next time. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Amen, amen. Praise the living God. Our God is so good. Our God is so good. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. I said tonight we just give God the praise and the glory. And I want to know, is Dr. Monica Hatchett, are you on the line? Dr. Monica Hatchett, are you on the line? Amen. Well, you know, while we're on the line, I want to tell some people something that God has done for me. Can I testify?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to tell you, God has been so good to me. I kept with the radio station and messing and doing this and praying and laying on and casting out until the day God said, do what?
Apostle, you're breaking up, Apostle.
Okay. I did one thing.
You're breaking up real bad.
Okay. Stand still. That's all I heard. That's what I felt. Stand still. And so I stood still. And in season, I began to put on the program. Can you hear me now? All right, let me do this here. Let me do this here. Can you hear me now? I know, can you hear me? Well, let me tell you. When I stood still like God had informed me, I began to see, coming here, read something due to the radio, and it's all working out better. So I want to praise God, give God the glory and the thanks for what he's done for me and for you. We're in this all together. And one of the things I want to thank you for is your due diligence and calling upon the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and understanding what God is saying. And I would always say to everybody, if you're going to listen to somebody else's program, take some notes. Take some notes. So Psalm 51, Isaiah 40, Acts 1-2, Romans 8:24, Lamentations 26:31.
Hello?
Amen. Can you hear me now?
breaking up.
All right, the next person on the line is Dr. Monica. Are you there? Brother William Irwin, are you there? Evangelist Abel.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead.
Oh, your phone is messing up again, and I had mine on mute. So I was just listening. I enjoyed the brother. He was very good. I just wanted to take a minute to give God all his glory, all his praise, and all his honor that he is truly. The devil is a liar, and we are going to defeat him. We already have the power. We have all the tools to defeat him. So we're having problems in and out of the airways, but God is still the same. And all of those that hear and can hear even a spark of clarity in the radio, just know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you are already delivered. I really enjoyed the brother teaching on all the things that we already have. These are things that were in the finished works of Christ. In the finished work of Christ, we keep picking and choosing and taking a few little things out. Some of us don't like the doctrine of prosperity. Some of us don't like the doctrine of healing. Some of us don't like the doctrine of tongues. Some of us don't like the doctrine of victory. We like to hear it, but we don't want to receive it. We got victory. We're victorious. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yes. My soul has been hurting these last few weeks because I hear so many desperate Christians who think as if they could have done something to change something. They act as if that something they do or did in their regeneration can make God love them anymore. You got to understand. We got to understand. I've been guilty of that many years ago. We got to understand that God loves us unconditionally. God chose us. We didn't choose him. God chose us before the foundation of the world. He called.
That's right.
He chose and he elected us. But we keep thinking, if I be good enough, how good
right.
can you get? How good are you going to get? I heard a sister say that she before she knew Christ, she didn't know. Well, naturally, before any of us knew Christ, we didn't know. We didn't know. But God is the one who came into our hearts and enlightened us. We act as if we'd have known to do that lie. If when you know better, you do better. Well, even if you know better, and you do better without the regeneration of the Holy Ghost, you ain't no better.
That's right.
You
come on
ain't
now.
No better. And
that's right without the Holy Spirit.
And it hurts. It hurts me to hear Christians who think, I know I've been where they are. It's all part of the growing pains. You know, I remember when I first got saved. I said, Lord, go and take me now. Take me now. And so I won't sin against you. So I won't never sin against you. You know, I was a babe. I had just got the Holy Ghost. I thought I really begged and pleaded with him. I mean, now that 45 years later, that seems so ridiculous. You know, how pure was I gonna get? Do you know how he must have been crying? Here put myself in you. I'm in you. What other God? The Buddha ain't in nobody. The Hindu God ain't in nobody. The Muslim God ain't in nobody.
Our God
has came down and got inside of us. Like I've seen Brother Hunter in physically. I've seen him. He's seen me. We've been knowing each other for right at 40 years too, almost 35 at least, because we both used to go to Lakewood together back there under Dr. John Osteen. However, I ain't never seen Brother Hunter, and he ain't never seen me. And I ain't talking about sexually. I'm talking because I can go right now and look in my mirror, and I won't see me. I ain't never seen the real me. Ain't none of us ever seen the one that God has seen. The one that God came down. The one that God came and attached himself to. This is a temple that I'm in. This is we are the temple. We are the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
But we house the whole glory to God. I feel his anointing all over me.
Amen.
This God, I mean, I hurt. I want to cry for my brothers and sisters. I do almost identify with Paul when he said, but I don't think I'm that good, because I ain't going to wish myself to be a curse for none of y'all, okay? Paul said he wished himself to be a curse. Oh, God bless Paul. Jesus, not me, Jesus. No, Lord. Now, maybe by the time I get ready to leave this earth, but I do hurt. My soul hurts because I wish that we would understand how we hurt Jesus. I belong to a national intercessory group where we pray. It don't mean nothing. Intercessory means just praying. The people have taken these words and built mountains out of them. But the Bible already tells us that Jesus Christ is our intercessor, making intercessor for us night and day. Do you realize when I'm disobedient and when I'm not doing, when I'm not, do you know Hebrews chapter 12 said that it is impossible to please God without faith. So we don't have the faith that God is in us, that God's word said that he has given us everything that pertain unto life, L-I-F-E, and godliness. When we don't have the faith to even believe that and believe that he has plans for us, to do good and not bad, when we don't believe that he is working in us to move and to will and to do, when we don't believe that God loves us and that nothing can separate us from him, there's nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. Do you know that he is blind? He has tears. He actually draws tears. He's telling his father, Father, I've come down, I went down, I sacrificed for them, and yet they don't even understand what I did. They still think they got to be better than me. And that's where the problem is. We have decided that we're going to make ourselves above God. I've been there, I did that, and I was in deep sin. When I couldn't forgive myself for my sins, it took me many years. I was in sin because I had set myself up being better than God. How can I not forgive? I know it's unquestionable for me to even think of not forgiving you, but I couldn't forgive me. For me. Now, how dare I have the courage to not forgive me when God has already forgiven me? And that's where the problem is. We don't understand. I understand. I've been where they're at. I've been a baby.
that Satan uses against you and everyone in the world. But God says to her, and he tells us, is trust him, believe him. Put your hopes, put your desires, put everything you have in your life into his hands. Because what you put into his hands, no man can take out. The greatest thing that Satan uses, I can't emphasize this anymore, that it's fear. Catch ourselves running to and fro. We catch ourselves going to this place or that place. We're searching. We're looking. There's a song that says, I've looked for love in all the wrong places. You know, a lot of times we look for faith in all the wrong places. We begin to sit there and we begin to go here and we begin to go there and we begin to go all over the place. We begin to look around and basically walk around the same mountain over and over and over again. And we continue to repeat everything over and over and over again. And we need to stop. You need to stop and take a stand. You need to be able to stop and take a stand and know and understand. And you need to be able to sit there and at that point is sit there and say, enough is enough. And you cast that out. You cast it out of your heart. You cast it out of your mind. You cast it out. You stand on the word of God. And you trust and you believe in the word of God. And you listen to him. And we listen to him daily. And Paul, I think in Corinthians, when he comes, he sits there and he talks about knowing a man after 14 years is caught up into the third heaven. He says, did he leave his body? Did he didn't know. Did he leave his body to be presence for the Lord? You know, we go into deep intercessory prayer, and there is times where we become numb. The world could blow up, and we wouldn't even know it because we'd be so deep in our prayer thoughts and in our prayer life that we're just talking to God and nothing around us matters. It's just that we're right there with the Lord. We're talking to the Lord and he's hearing us. And we're in that place of his joy and of his peace and that counsel of the Holy Spirit. And we get caught up into that third heaven where we become one with Christ and we become one. And then we sit there and we meditate on his words, and as we go about our business and our daily life, and sometimes it seems like we seem to forget that what we just had that moment in the third heavens of just being in the presence of the Lord, talking to the Lord, even if you weren't talking, even if you were just in the presence of the Lord. And knowing that when you come back out and you step out, you're stepping back out into the world. But, you know, we do have that where we can maintain that spiritual identity in Christ and hold on to that. We don't need to sit there and begin to listen to the things of the world. We don't need to be sitting there turning our eyes to the things of the world, but to the things of the Word of God and his promise. And to you and to me. And to your family. We're watching this world deteriorate. We're watching it being pulled apart. We're seeing it daily. We're seeing it, oh God, in so many different ways. We're seeing right now, there's I think it was a school in Georgia. They put a mandate that no religious objects whatsoever of any kind in their schools. No crosses. Your kids can't wear a cross to school. You can't have a Bible. No, nothing. No holiday with anything with the religious symbols of any kind. And this is going out through all the different schools. It's going through. It's a fear factor. Because they're saying, well, we don't want to offend anybody. But you know what? That day is going to come when God's going to sit there and look upon all them people. And they're going to be offended when they say, well, Lord, here I am. And he said, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. He is not going to have anything to do with us, those people who deny Christ, who deny who God is, that would rather believe that the world is better without God. Oh, that day is coming. There's a day that is coming, that reckoning of the Lord. You know, I'm sitting here reading in the Bible, and I'm looking for passages and different things for talking about tonight. and everybody's talking about Gog and Magog. And, you know, we know that it's Russia and whatever else, and we're seeing all these countries that are coming into alignment. And we're seeing it. We're calling the end times and the end times and the end times. But, you know, you got to stop and figure this, because it's in the book of John where he says, after the thousand-year reign on earth with Christ, then Gog attacks Israel. That is the end times. So in the meantime, we have to sit there and begin to live our lives as if we are in control, not the world. We're in control of what we say and what we do. We're in control of everything that we think. Whether we think if it's a doubt, or we just want to say it's unbelief. Because you ask God for something, and he sit there and he says, yeah, you can have it. And then when it doesn't manifest before you as soon as you want it, like a McDonald's hamburger or whatever else, and having it your way or anything else, you begin to question it. And then when you begin to question it, you begin to sit there and you come up with all the different reasons why I can't have this. What's wrong with me? What's this? What's that? What's going on in my life? Why hasn't this come about? Why hasn't this? Why hasn't that? It's your beginning to doubt. And that is a fear factor that Satan uses against you. He uses that against you for the promise of God. He doesn't want you to have that promise. He doesn't want you to have that life. He doesn't want you to sit there and reap the benefits of Christ that shed his blood for you. He doesn't want you to have his whole agenda is to sit there and take you down. But you know, it's through doubt, and it's also through the fact of unbelief. Because at some point when things don't start to come, you get the beginning to not to believe in God, that he's really said what he said he was going to do for you. Things, I know there's people out there who's been waiting years and years and years for this and for that and for different things to manifest. And we sit there and we know that people have spoken over your life at some point and saying you're going to have this and you're going to have that and this is going to come about for you. And you know, God's going to give you a mansion and God's going to give you all these things, and it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come and it doesn't come. Is God the liar? Or is it the one who spoke over you? The liar? Is it your doubt? Is it your unbelief? Is it that you sit there when every time you doubt and you come with a conclusion of unbelief that Satan has taken and stolen from you what God said you can have? You need to think about that. You need to think about why it is you don't have the life that you desire. Procrastination. Maybe you figured that you're owed it. You know, there's no man is owed anything, because we owe Christ our lives. We owe Christ Jesus. We owe Jesus. He says we need to work for our living. We need to work for the things we desire. We need to work, but he will provide and he will make a way for us to have those things. We can have a wonderful business. We can have a wonderful job. We can have a wonderful life. We can have a wonderful family. We can have all the wonderful things that he has desired for you and I to have. Does that mean that we're all going to be rich like Donald Trump? Probably not. But it doesn't say you can't be. It doesn't say you can't be a president. It doesn't say anywhere that you can't do this, you can't do this. Only unto you, with your either with your doubt or unbelief. But God sits there and he says, if you will continue to walk after me and continue to seek me and continue for the wisdom, and my glory will shine upon you. Here lies the keys to your success. It's trusting in the Lord, believing in the Lord, accepting Christ at his word, accepting Jesus at his word. Knowing that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Times we hear people say those verses over and over, and after they walk out the door and they get hit with the reality in the world, and doubt starts to creep up on them, And then if it's not doubt, it's unbelief, because something comes across, something slams you in the face, and you can sit there and receive that, or you can rebuke it, because your words are powerful. If you're in Christ, your words are powerful. You can rebuke that what's come upon you. You can cast it out. You can cast it down. You can cast it under your feet. See, God sat there and says, you and I, we possess the land. Yet we sit there and we see so many people giving up the land. We're seeing so many people giving up. We don't want to offend anybody. Oh, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe we shouldn't be doing these things. Well, I don't know. Maybe this is, you know, and so they become silent. You know, at some point God sat there and says, the church will become silent. Now, are you going to be the cause of the silence? Are you going to be outspoken? Does your life matter more that you're outspoken or that you be silent? Because, you know, if we can see Satan working his will and into the world, we're seeing every day the people being persecuted, and they're being crucified, and they're being killed and martyred for Christ. You know, it's unfortunate. I had a pastor one time tell me one time, sit there and says, well, God knows I love him, but if I was to sit there and say, well, reject God to save my family, do you think God will sit there and still believe me and love me? I said, well, he'll love you, but he also said that if you deny him before man, he will deny you before the Father. Are you being silent to offend anybody? Are you being silent? Maybe because of the things that you decide that I don't know. I don't want to get into all this, and I don't want to get into all that. You know, the persecution. Hey, you know, my neck's on the line. If you stepped out in faith and believed and trusted, your neck is on the line. It's just like going into business for yourself. It's just like anything else. But you got to put your trust in the Lord. It's like when you get married and your marriage and you're stepping out in faith and believing that you're going to have a beautiful house. You're going to have the white picket fence. You're going to have all the stuff and all the other stuff. And yet the world comes into your home and it starts to deteriorate. It starts to break down. And we know we have to sit there and we have to paint the windows. And we know that we have to replace the roof. And we know we have to replace these other things. Well, it's the same thing in your spirit and in your life and your walk with Christ. We have to continue to renew ourselves. We have to continue to drink after the Lord. We need to continue to sit there and hear his word. We need to continue to edify in Christ. And we need to be able to continue to do these things over and over and over and over and over again. And we need to be able to profess the word of God over our lives and over our children and over our husbands and our wives. We need to begin to sit there and put forth with the righteousness of what Christ has put in us, so that we can obtain what God has given us as a glory here on earth, and not fall victim to fear, and not fall victim to the things of the world. We need to begin to start taking our place and taking our stand. We have election coming up, and we can see both sides. We can see what's going on with this, and we can hear what's going on with that. And we know we can see this and we can see that. And I know myself, I'm sitting there and I'm beside myself. It's just saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're sidestepping everything else, making it a showcase for what we see in France right now. France is at war, is almost at a civil war right now. With the refugees and the Muslims coming in and taking over territories. We see in Dearborn and in Detroit the same thing. No go zones for anybody else that's not Muslim. We're seeing this coming about, and we're seeing it, and it's escalating, and it's escalating, and it's escalating. But we need to stand firm. We need to stand strong. We need to be able to sit there and look at that. We can't begin to sit there and look because it's this or that. We need to be able to sit and truly ask God for his righteousness, for his wisdom. God is going to put in office who he has because God has an agenda. And if we follow his agenda and we walk in the glory of God, yes, we're going to have trouble. Yes, we may be martyred. Even if God, Jesus sat there and said, he says that we'll be persecuted. He said, but don't worry about it. They hated me before they hated you. So what they're looking at Christ in you and hating you, not hating you, but they're hating Christ that's in you. Fear factor, and you're allowing fear to come in. You don't want to allow that. You don't want to show it. And when you're not wanting to show it, then what you're doing, you're making it silent, the church silent, and you we're beginning to sit there and become silent in the world. And we need to be glorifying God. We need to be showing God ourselves as we are Christ. We need to begin to understand his will for our lives. And it's not really all about having mansions and Bentleys and whatever else. It's about doing the will of God. That we be the light of the world. That we would be who God has called us to be. I know for myself, I know there's times it's been hard for me, and I testify to the fact that I've had doubt, and I've sat there and I've come to where at times I've come to unbelief, but God spoke to me today. He says, "Did I lie to you, or did that man lie to you that spoke these things over your life?" God doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat you. He promised you. And he's made a way for you. All you need to do is step out in faith and believe. Cast doubt and fear. Put them under your feet. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. And Jesus will be with you. There the Holy Spirit and the Father will watch over you. Because what Jesus has, what you put in Jesus' hand, what the Father has given Jesus, no man can take. That should be glory unto you. You should be jumping for joy. You should be just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for your promise. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for the doubt. Forgive me for the mayhem that's been going in my heart and my life and the things that I've been questioning, the things that I've been asking, the things of disbelief. Forgive me, Lord. And set me apart from this world. Set me apart from everything that's upon this world, Lord, that I can walk into your glory and go from day to day, your glory to glory. Father, I ask right now for anyone who's listening right now who's had doubt, who has had fear, anyone right now that is lay it down before you and testify and begin to repent. Lord, I ask that you begin right now to minister to their hearts, that you would forgive them. Father, I ask that you put the lamp back into their hearts and the light into their eyes, and they begin to glorify you as they begin to step out again, once again, because we are the light of the world, Father. This is a torch that you have given each and every one who has come before the throne of God, that has come at the feet of Christ, those who are a witness to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Father, I ask right now that you forgive us, Lord, and set us free, and set us again, once again, on the path that you designed, that you had prepared for us, Lord. Give us the courage and the strength, Lord. And as we become blind to the things of the world and begin to see the glory of heaven and the glory of God in our brothers and our sisters, and as we begin to see what you see, Lord, in those who have fallen as a witness, Lord, that we can draw them near unto you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, praise God. That's about all I have for you guys tonight. I'm not sure. I was supposed to come on at 8:30, but I come on a little early, so I just hope that we have somebody that's coming on.
Yes, Evangelist Abraham from Mississippi. Is he on? Abraham. Take over to read.
Praise God. Praise God. Truly, we thank God for everything that has been said tonight. We give God the honor, the praise, and the glory. We thank God for the messages that have went forth and the message of the brother just gave about fear. We truly thank God for that because we know Satan used fear like God used faith. And truly, we thank God for that message tonight. And I just want to say that I truly thank each and every one of you for the prayers that have went up for myself, my family, for the ministry, for Dr. Harlow. And we pray that everyone is well and their families is well. So, Brother Abraham, are you out there? Well, if not, we're going to have prayer now, and we're going to ask if there's anyone who needs prayer. Let it be known now.
Yeah, I do. I got a couple of missions that's coming up, and I know that God will make a way, but I have other people that are struggling, and I just want to be able to lift them up so that God will prepare their hearts and begin they're struggling. They're struggling because they're undecided and undeciphered in what they need to do and the direction that they need to go. So I just want to lift them up in prayer right now, you know, because like I said, it's not a fear factor. They've been beaten and beaten and beaten, and they're looking for an answer. So we just ask that God will give them an answer for their ministry.
Praise God. Pastor, if you want to go on and pray for them. If there's anyone else that needs prayer at this time, we'll do a corporate prayer. If there's anyone else, and I need you to pray for myself and my family, and I'm dealing with a situation here in Savannah with a couple of people. One, they got mental problems, and the people that's overseeing them, they're not doing what they should be doing for the people. So another young man, he have mental issues, and he got himself in some trouble, and they want to deal with the crime before they deal with the mental issues. Just want to lock him up and not do nothing about it. So I need you to lift these people up also. You know, so Pastor,
right.
If you will.
Sure, and then also, you know, the people in Haiti and all those in the Caribbean islands, that this hurricane that's coming through, we need to lift them up in prayer. And also, they're of course, it's undecisive whether it's going to hit Florida or going to hit the Georgia or Carolinas or up the East Coast, so that we'll just keep all those in harm's way in prayer right now, too, also.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I ask right now, Lord, that for those who are indecisive, Lord, you've called them to ministry, Lord. Father, you have a purpose for each and every one, Lord. I ask right now that you would send angels, Lord, to guide them, to direct them, Lord. Father, I ask that you would put a lamp upon their feet once again, Lord. The lamp that's diminished, Lord, that we put new oil in it, fresh oil, Lord, so it'll begin to shine once again, so they will be able to see the direction that they need to go, Lord. Father, we know that the world is hammering, it's coming against the body of Christ, and it's coming against the silence, the word of God, Lord, and when the light needs to shine brighter and brighter. Father, right now, there are many out there who are seeking for an answer, Lord, to prayer. Tonight, Father, I ask that you answer their prayers, Father. Right now, I ask right now for Tyrone, Lord, everybody else, it's Savannah, Lord, that you would begin right now to minister to those, Lord, that are hurting, Lord, those who are in the situations that are drugged, whatever it is, and the crimes that they're in, Lord, that they begin to be taken out, Lord. And I don't mean taken out of the world, but I mean taken out of the situation that they're in, Lord, and become to know who you are, Lord. Father, I ask right now that your hand be upon him, Lord, his family, Lord, ministry that he has. Father, I ask right now that you would just hold, I hold him up to you, Lord. I hold his family up to you, Lord. That you begin to minister to him, Lord, and give him the wisdom and the words to speak to those that need to hear, Lord. Not to be thumped over the head with the Bible, Lord, but with the issues at hand, Lord. That he could begin to speak and touch their heart, begin to speak and to be able to break those chains. Begin to speak to them, Lord. Speak to that what has come upon these people that is tearing them away from Father, right now, Lord, I just ask for the anointing, Lord, to be upon him, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, I ask right now that for those people in Haiti, Lord, I've been there in Haiti, Lord, during the earthquakes, Lord, and there's some loving people there. Father, I ask that your hand be upon them, Lord. Lord, we know that the things that in Haiti are bad, Lord, and we know and we understand. I know firsthand, Lord. There is many out there who are living in shacks. They're still living in tents, Lord. And I know that they're in need right now, Lord. And I know it does all the way across, even into Cuba, Lord. It doesn't matter what nation anybody is from, Lord. If it's a communist nation, it doesn't matter what nation, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes, Lord.
They're your children.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your children. We are your creation. Father, right now, Lord, don't make any difference where they're at. That your hand would be upon them, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord, in their time of need right now. And those in Jamaica and those in the Caribbean islands that the hurricane is headed to, Lord, that your hand would be on them, Lord. Yeah, homes can be replaced, Lord, and valuable things can be replaced, Lord, but lives cannot. Father, I ask right now that you save and protect
yes.
each and every one.
Yes, yes,
Father,
yes.
As this storm comes, Lord, we ask and we that it would turn, Lord. It would turn east again, Lord, and go out into the sea, and there would be no harm. That there would be, if there would be rain, Lord, let it rain. But there would be no winds, no storms, Lord.
Yes,
that the hurricane will go out into the east and diminish.
Yes,
and if we come out into the storm where we get peace, we speak peace unto that storm right now, Lord, even before it hits the Caribbeans. Father, we speak peace into that storm right now. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And we cast it, Lord. We cast it out. And we cast it back out into the sea. Right out into the bits, Lord. Father, we have that power. We have that glory through Christ. And we demand it and we command it to cease now and be peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hello? Anybody else have anything you want to pray about?
God bless you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. You're breaking up. Is Abraham coming on?
He hasn't come on. No, he's not.
Okay. Oh, praise God. You know, I don't know if anybody else needs prayer out there. If anybody, you know, go ahead and speak up. There should be people on the line. I don't know if they need prayer. Go ahead. If you open the lines up, we'll just begin to pray for the people who have needs right now. That anybody has needs out there they need prayer for, we'll just go ahead and begin to pray for them.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? This is Abraham.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God on tonight. Hallelujah for all that have been said. We thank God for the word about fear. Amen. We know that's the enemy's greatest tactics on the world today, fear.
Amen.
But I come tonight and with John, the 14th chapter. Not going to be long, but I just want to encourage you that the word of God says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In this day and times, and that people's heart is failing because of worry, because of things that are transpiring in their lives. But the word say, let not your heart be troubled. We think about all of the things that's going on. We are concerned about the election. We are concerned about this and that. But I want to let you know that God is still in control. God is in control of everything. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And we as believers need to believe that. God already knows what's going to go on. All we have to do is do what we are supposed to do. God already knows who's going to be in position. He knows everything. And see, if we stay connected to God, stay connected to the word of God, hallelujah, saying glory to God, our heart would not be failing because of all these things that are going on around us. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And you just believe in God. All things are possible to them that believe. And look what he said in that second verse. Says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I can imagine, Sam, that all the things that Jesus was telling the disciples, he told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, and he was letting them know, saying that he was preparing them that he was going away. But he let them know later on, he said he would let them know that they would not be left alone, that he was going to send them a comforter. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And man's heart is failing because of unbelief, like the pastor said earlier. We're not believing, we're not trusting, and we're not relying and depending upon God. And he said, I go prepare a place for you. Verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Then said, verse 4 say, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas then asked him the question. He said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And I just always tune in on verse 6 when Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Not only am I the way, he said, but the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer to every problem, every situation, every circumstance in life. I am the way. See, many times then we need to get out of the way and get into the way, which is Jesus Christ. And he said, if you have known me, you shall have known my Father. Also, and from his point, you know him and have seen him. Do you know the Father on tonight? Are you acquainted with the Father? Do you know the Father as being our provider, our banner, our peace, our righteousness, our healer, our deliverer, our protector? Do you know the Father as being El Shaddai? God is more than enough. Are you acquainted with the Father? And I'm so excited about the Word of God. And as the pastor was praying, and I thank God, because I really do believe that we can decree a thing and it should come to pass. You see, if the saints of God began to stand on the promises of God, he said, greater works than these shall you do. Many theologians don't even believe that. They have no clue that we have authority and power to speak to circumstances, to speak to storms. Jesus said, hallelujah, peace be still, when the storm came upon the Galilean Sea, and that it said, Master, cares not that we perish. Jesus woke and he said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Speak to the circumstances, speak to the wind, speak to the storm in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak that it would turn the storm, the hurricane, would turn away from Haiti and turn away from the United States and go back out there in the sea and die out. I do believe that. I've seen other brothers and other sisters stand up on the promises. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I learned this from Brother Copeland. Brother Copeland and all of the brothers say they went out there and stood up on the says, storm, you're not coming in here. You're not going to come in here and destroy this city in the name of Jesus. If one man have the power and authority to think that way, what about the church as a collective family? We can speak to storm, we can speak to circumstances, and they will obey us, my brothers and sisters. I truly believe that. All things are possible to them that believe. Instead of letting our hearts be troubled, then we could stand on the promises of God. The word said, cast all of our cares upon him, for he careth for us. He is telling now that the body of Christ take the rightful places. Glory to God. All the hospitals and all of the people saying that are hurting, the mental challenge and all of the things that are going on. Do you know that is the responsibility of the church?
Amen.
That's the responsibility of the church. I'm going to say it again. If we would stop making bigger buildings and start buying buildings, glory to God, that we can house hurting humanity and reach out for them, the people of the world is not going to treat them fairly.
Amen.
That's where the church come into play, into being, where we but the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. We have a vision for a church building, but we don't have a vision for helping hurting humanity. People hurting, they don't know where to go. Hallelujah. At one time, they would come to the church. They're not coming to the church any longer. Glory to God. They're trying to depend upon government. But government don't have the answer. They only see money. They don't see healing. They don't see deliverance. But that's the job of the church, my brothers and sisters. Glory to God. If we ever get the vision, do and be about our Father's business. Jesus gave us a command. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to teach them to observe all things. And he said, lo, I'll be with you always. One thing about that is that he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is trust in him and believe in him. Whatever is going on in this world today, said God is still in control. Relax. Relax. All we have to do, saying, is hallelujah, be prayerful, love one another, and be faithful unto God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Just believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. of coming to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And I have a praise book for them tonight. I asked for prayer saying on last Tuesday, and my ankle, hallelujah, was swollen. And I mean, I tell you, it was something, and knee pain. And the pain was gone instantly, and the knee went down. I mean, the ankle went down, and glory to God, hallelujah. I thank God for prayer. I thank God because prayer still works. Hallelujah. Prayer works, Amen. And all we have to do is trust in God and believe, hallelujah, and receive. Believe and receive, glory to God. And that's all we have to do, just believe that God is going to work this thing out. Not is going to work it out, it's already worked out. It's already worked out from the foundation of the world. Everything that's going on today already is written. It's written, saying God already knows, hallelujah, everything that's going on. So if we trust in him and rely upon him, then the saints of God is not going to go through nothing that God don't know anything about. So all we have to do is trust and rely upon him. So let your heart not be troubled. Man's heart is failing him because of certain things going on. And in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, hallelujah, Paul let us know some things that was going to happen. He said, in the last days, he said, perilous times, they're going to do what? It's going to come. Amen? So we don't have to worry about a thing because we have been warned that in the last days, he said, know. He said, know this. 2 Timothy, in the third chapter, he said, this know also that in the last days, he said, perilous. That word perilous means dangerous. Time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boastful, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, hearty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God, having a form of God, but denying the power thereof. He said, but push that away. Hallelujah. We have already been warned there. And then in 1 Peter, said, he let us know, he said, prepare yourself to suffer. Arm yourself to suffer. That word arm means get ready for it. So as believers, hallelujah, and the word says, if Jesus had to suffer, what about us? Believers, but all is well. All is well. All we have to do is trust in God. Trust in God. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt the word of God. Believe what the word says. Stand on the promises of God. And everything for a believer is going to be all right. Trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. He said, in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. That's all I have for tonight, said. God bless you, and God, and hallelujah. God protect us and keep us through all of the things that would try to come upon us. Storms and the hurricanes and everything that would try to come up on us and to cause us to fear and to doubt. All we have to do is believe that God has us. He said he holds us in the palm of his hands. Amen. God holds us in the palm of his hands. Amen. We are in grief in God's hand. Can you imagine all of our names are written in the palm of God's hands? So if God have us in our hands, he said, look what the word of God says. If God be for us, who can be against us? So God is Amen. For us, and glory to God. So we have to remember that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So on tonight, I just thank God, hallelujah, for an opportunity to stand and ask for prayer. Because, hallelujah, from the time of the revival, something been going on, and I know this is a trick of the enemy when my boss is concerned. The devil is a lie, and I know he's a lie. And I just ask for prayer for that area in my life. To God be the glory. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. But brother, we thank you for the word. We're going to lift you up in prayer now. And we're going to just thank you for the word that you brought forth tonight. Father God, in Jesus' name, we give you the honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you for this brother right now. We thank you for the healing that you have already attained for each and every one of your people. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary cross. Because without the shedding of the blood, there could be no remission of sin. We thank and we praise you for deliverance. We thank and we praise you for provision. We thank and we praise you for the healing. We thank and praise you for the peace of God and the peace with God. Yes. We thank and we praise you that we are more than conquerors.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
We thank and we praise you, Father God, that apart from you, we can't do nothing. But if we abide in you and your word abide in us, Father God, we thank and we praise you for all your abundant blessing. We receive it right now. We receive it right now.
Right now.
The name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We pray for each and every household.
Yes,
we pray for each and everyone under the sound of our voice.
Yes, sir.
We pray that, Father God, you open doors that we can go out and preach the gospel, that we can go out and they cry out, brothers and sisters, what must we do to be saved?
Yes, sir.
We ask you to open doors for us, Father God, that we can just reach someone in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you,
and
break it. It's your will. It is your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
We're going to close it out now. It's time for us to close it out at this time. And we thank God for each and every one of you. We really do, and by the grace of God, we'll meet again here tomorrow night if God so ordain it that we meet here.
Amen.
And we pray for blessings upon each and every one of you, and we thank you, and we'll say good night.
Good night.
God bless. Love y'all.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.